In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, Amen. So indeed it is my first time here speaking in the Nahda, in the revival, but I came before to speak in a servant's meeting before, and I also spoke about prayer. Lest you guys think I'm an expert on prayer, it's not the case at all. I'm copy-pasting right and left, and I'm trying to get things in. I know nothing, okay? But we are striving together to learn prayer. And today we'll look into different schools of prayer. But really what I want to do today, or what I'd like us to do together, is evaluate different levels of prayer. And as we evaluate different levels of prayer, we will see different schools of prayer throughout the topic. So really we're going to look at levels of prayer, and throughout the topic we will see different schools of prayer. Okay. But first and foremost, we have to stop and re-question our understanding of what prayer is. Oftentimes we think prayer is talking to God, which is true. But most importantly, we need to understand what is prayer in the Christian understanding. I mean, the Buddhists pray, the Muslims pray, all type of different religions, they quote-unquote pray. But what is prayer to the Christian? Is it just a means of communication? Is it a way of expressing our love to God? The verse says in Matthew, pray without ceasing. It is expectation for us to pray at all times. And if we were to compare it in the physical realm, what prayer is equal to in the physical realm, something that you need to have at all times, to do at all times. Does anyone want to give a take at it? I don't know if this is the type of... Breathing. Prayer is our breath. Prayer is everything. It is the core of our sustenance in our Christian life. It's not just a means of communication, and it's not just talking to God, but it is our breath. If you were to stop breathing for X amount of minutes, you are going towards death. If I were to stop praying for X amount of time, I am walking towards death. Our goal is prayer without ceasing. Our goal is to make prayer our breath. There is a church, there's a book called The Way of the Pilgrim, and in this book, it's a man in seeking what it is prayer, what it is to pray without ceasing. And he finds the Jesus prayer. And the Jesus prayer, he started harmonizing the Jesus prayer with every single heartbeat, every single breath he took. My Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy. Such that at moments he's not thinking, it is just natural that he is praying. Prayer is our breath. Prayer is the core of everything we do. This is the point of prayer. And prayer is powerful. Pope Corollos, who was known as the man of prayer, this man who was known as the man of prayer, was ordained patriarch. And after his ordination, they say, I wasn't alive, maybe some of you know all the difficulties and the drama that may have been going during his ordination, but what, from my understanding, is the church was having political issues and they wanted the patriarch. They say, what? Let me see the quote that I find here. They wanted a patriarch, not a muallim. All day, they say, what is this? All day he's praying, and all day and all night in psalmody, prayers, matins, vespers, liturgy. That's all he does. And he's leaving the church as is. The church needs a reform. It needs healing. It needs one to go on its behalf to the government and president, one who can understand these issues and bring results to the Copts. We often think, we look at the issues, we want issues to be resolved, we want these issues, we want to do something directly about it. Pope Kyrillos focused on prayer. And Pope Kyrillos, in my opinion, revived the church. Prayer is everything. And he says that as well. Prayer is everything. So, actually, Pope Kyrillos is one example of a school of prayer. We look at our church fathers. We look at the early church. We look at people around us, how they admire prayer, and we learn from them. A school of prayer is one from which we are learning from. Now, let's start maybe going through different levels of prayer, evaluating where am I in prayer? How do I understand prayer? We're going to go through 5 different levels of prayer. The first one, level 1 of prayer, is supplication. Supplication, asking from God. This is one where we may be the most comfortable, where we're asking God for something because it's natural, something I want. I say, I need a spouse, I have a spouse. I need a job, I ask God, get me a job. I need to pass an exam, I ask God, help me in this exam. We supplicate for things we want. But even within the level of supplication, there are levels and different types of supplication. In Scripture, our Lord teaches us the prayer, Our Father. And we look at the prayer of Our Father and we see that it's filled with supplication. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I am supplicating to the Lord that your name be hallowed, that it may be glorified. Thy kingdom come. I am asking for his kingdom to come down. Thy will be done. I am asking and supplicating for his will on earth. Give us, now we're starting to look a different type. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses.
What's next?
Lead us not into temptation. The priest who doesn't know our Father who art in heaven. Lord of mercy. So even within supplication, there are different types of supplication that reveal different levels and different intimacy with God. And this is not wrong. It's not wrong to be at level 1, part 1, or whatnot. Actually, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. St. Paul tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Everything. In prayer and in supplication, let your request be made to God, known to God. Ask about anything you want. This is beautiful. It doesn't mean level 1 is lower than another level. It's just a different type of prayer. So, in the level of supplication, we can be asking for earthly materials. We can be asking for spiritual things, or we can be asking for glorious things of God. This is the level of supplication. Let's move on to the level 2, which is thanksgiving. With every level we go through, we start seeing that we start expanding outwards of ourselves. So in supplication, it is natural that I only ask for myself certain things. In thanksgiving, I start expanding. It's not just about myself, but I'm giving thanks to God. There's more about God's involvement in my prayer. And there are different levels of thanksgiving. We can be thanking God for significant things in our lives. It's very easy to go and thank God, Lord, thank you for the big promotion. We pass an exam, we say, thank you, God, you helped me pass this exam. We pray for the big stuff, the big things in our lives. It is easy to thank God for.
But there's also the smaller things where we can start praying and giving thanks for all the small things. You have some people who, the moment they wake up in the morning, it is, "Thank you, God, I am seeing another day." The moment they put their feet on the ground, they say, "Thank you, God, I still have legs that function and are capable of walking." You have some people who, every time they eat, they say, "Thank you, God, I have food. Thank you, God, I have education. Thank you, God, I have a job. Thank you, God, the sun has rose on us." Every breath we take, this is a gift, and I thank you, God. Everything, all the small things, is a gift. Us being here at this revival, thank you, God, that you give me the opportunity to come and spend time with you. Thank you, God, that you brought me here safely. You come back home and you say, "Thank you, God, that you brought me back home." Put your mind to find all these little things that God has given you, and you will have the remembrance of God at all times in your mind. The remembrance of God is another type of school of prayer where we are emphasizing that God is always on my mind if I thank Him for all the small things. But then you have those who thank God for the big things. You have those who thank God for the small things. And then you have those who thank God for everything. Literally everything, whether it's good or bad. Actually, you look at the church, and the church teaches us, and we see it. There is no prayer that does not begin without the Thanksgiving prayer. Here you go, another school of prayer. Liturgical services teach us how to pray, the importance of prayer, and how the different things that we should be praying. So the church here, whether I'm praying a wedding, I start prayer of Thanksgiving. I pray the liturgy of the Eucharist, starts with the prayer of Thanksgiving. I pray a funeral, starts with the prayer of Thanksgiving. I pray the unction of the sick, prayer of Thanksgiving. I give thanks to God for everything. I need to learn to reach a stage in my spiritual life where I thank God for everything, whether good or bad, and I see God's glory in everything. Nothing happens to us without an opportunity of growth. Nothing happens to us without an opportunity of growth, good or bad. I give thanks because I know that God will make me grow. And it is a type of prayer. In fact, we were a bunch of college students at the monastery. And one of the things that we were studying the book of James. And one verse I absolutely loved as we were studying together. One verse was, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, for the testing of your faith produces patience." No matter what, good or bad, count it joy. Give thanks to God. Because God will produce something that will build your faith. Nothing happens to us without the opportunity for growth. When we look at the story of the three young men, they were thankful for the furnace. It's not like they were escaping Canada and it was cold up in Canada or in Alaska or in Nunavut or whatever, and I'm going to go heat it up and go in some nice heat, and thank you, God, I'm going to get heat. No. It's because they were thankful to be able, and they knew they were going to see God in tribulation and in trials. There's a father that I know, a father of confession, who passed away not long ago. And this man used to tell anyone who going through struggles, anyone who was going through trials, pray that God sends your trial to me. Make sure that you pray that God sends your entire trial to me. Why did he do that? Makes no sense. And his congregation's huge. I'm talking about maybe 1,500 families. And he would pray and he would tell them, pray that your trials come to me. Because in the midst of tribulations, in the midst of trials, he had intimacy with God. He felt the presence of God and the peace of God. Count it all joy and give thanks to God when you fall into various trials, because he is there. We all know St. Paul the Hermit, right? St. Paul the Hermit, who went in the wilderness and lived on his own. And it's said that St. Anthony, if we read the Synaxar, it said that St. Anthony at some point thought he was the only monk. And an angel appeared to him. Let me read the quote from the Synaxar. When the Lord wanted to reveal the holiness of St. Paul and his righteousness, he sent his angels to St. Anthony the Great, who thought he was the first to dwell in the wilderness. The angel told St. Anthony, there is a man who lives in the inner wilderness. Listen to this. The world is not worthy of his footsteps. The world is not worthy of his footsteps. By his prayers, the Lord brings rain and dew to fall on the earth and brings the flood of the Nile in its due season. So here we're really raising up the power of prayers and the beauty of the spiritual life of St. Paul the Hermit. St. Paul the Hermit leaves us with one quote. I mean, I don't know how many quotes he's left us, but I think the only one I found is this one. He says, in this one quote, he who flees from tribulations flees from God. He who flees from tribulations flees from God. And so in thanksgiving and tribulations, this is where God is. This is where God is. We look at these saints, we look at their lives, we look at these fathers. This is a school of prayer. They teach us to give thanks in everything. So level one, we had supplication, demanding or asking things from God. Level two is the life of thanksgiving. Level three is conversation with God. Here, I'm not just going to ask for his things or even thank him, but I just want to be in his presence and talk. We all know this. Conversation builds relationships. No one can go and build a relationship with someone else and say, hey, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for that, and that's all you do. There's no relationship. Or, hey, give me your car, help me, drive me here, or, hey, put food on my plate. That's all you're doing. We can't stop in our prayers with just supplications or just thanksgiving. We need to sit and talk and build a relationship with the Lord. You go to a friend when you have conversation. You just go, you don't need advice, you just want to let things out. You want to let your emotions out and talk to him or talk to her and listen. Conversation. There's one father who says, Christ is like a hopeless romantic. I thought that was beautiful. Christ is like a hopeless romantic. It's not an early church father, this is just a modern day father, but it's still beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I'll say it again. Christ is like a hopeless romantic who is looking to talk to the love of his life by any means. waiting for his beloved to say, "I just want to talk." But you say, "Okay, this sounds beautiful, but I don't know how to talk to him. I don't know what to tell him. All I see are four walls. What am I going to say?" One of the schools of prayer is Agbiya. Agbiya, right? That's a lot of people's reaction. But it's a school of prayer. And it's most likely, I think, the one of the most rich and most beautiful gifts the Coptic Church has given us. Because it's a true school of prayer. The words that Psalms, the Psalms of David's, they shape our heart. They shape our heart. If we don't recite them, but we pray them. We look at the litanies of the Agbiya. In the compliant prayer, it says, "Were this life on earth were everlasting and this world ever existing, you would have had an excuse, O my soul. But now if your wicked deeds and repulsive evils were exposed before you, O Lord, what answer would I have been giving?" This is conversation. There's no supplication. There's no thanksgiving here. I'm just telling him, I'm giving him my feelings. I am realizing my wickedness. I am realizing my sinfulness, and I'm bringing it in front of him, and I'm telling him, "Lord, what do I do to at least remember me like the publican who's beating his chest and saying, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Look on me like you looked on him.'" Have conversation. It teaches us to have conversation. It guides us. You start with this, and then you can take off on your own prayer. They used to say, Tama Varini, who was the mother of many sisters, would tell them, "Take your Agbiya, read the Psalms, and once you feel touched and you feel like you want to converse with the Lord, and you feel like the Psalms guided you somewhere to have conversation with him, let your Agbiya down and converse. Have that intimate time with the Lord. I mean, of course, have this discussion with your father of confession and see how you want to approach this. But it's beautiful. Our goal is to converse, and the Agbiya is there to lead us to the Lord, to shape our hearts, to speak the words of the Lord to the Lord. The Agbiya even serves to open our eyes to things we may not have thought of. If I just stand in prayer and I just say what's on my heart, I am not opening my mind and my heart to things I may not have been exposed to. Like in the compliant litany we were reading, "Where shall the sinner appear?" This is a biblical verse. We're talking from Scripture. Maybe if you start focusing on this and you realize, I would not have a thought about where the righteous would appear in heaven. And then you can go on and meditate. You expose yourself to more than what your limited mind has learned. We learn prayer. We learn prayer through different schools, and one of which is the Agbiya. Conversation, as we are saying, is when I go to God and say, "I just want to talk to you. I want to step outside myself. It's no longer about what I want or things that are self-centered about me. I just want to talk. I just want to talk and become like Moses." Moses, to whom it is written, Exodus 33:11. Listen to this, how beautiful this is. "And the Lord spoke face to face to Moses, as a friend, as a man speaks to his friend." Isn't that beautiful? The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Scripture tells us I can have beautiful friendship with God, and I can sit and converse and speak with him. and he can call me his friend. This is my desire. As we said, I'm no expert, but this is my desire. This is where I want to go. I want to sit and converse such that the Lord calls me his friend. There's a story in the Paradise of the Fathers. Here again, another school of prayer who teach us different examples of prayer, and in here we learn conversing with the Lord in this story. There is the story of a monk whose job was to clean the altar and cook the food. So the story says that one day as he was cleaning the altar, all of a sudden Christ came down from Hudn al-Ab, the bosom of the Father. So he's cleaning the altar, and the altar is, and he's doing his job. So he was both, let's rewind. He's both the altar cleaner, or the kanaisi, and the cook of the monastery. And as he's cleaning, doing what he's supposed to do in obedience, he sees Christ coming down from the bosom of the Father, stepping out of the icon. And so in awe, he asks the Lord, "What are you doing? Why have you just come down?" So the Lord answered and said, "I know that you simply love talking and having conversation with me. So I left the whole world." I mean, this is figurative, of course. "I left the whole world just to talk with you." And so they spoke hours and hours. And then came the time where the monks need to eat. This man's the cook. He's got to go cook. He goes and tells, "But Lord," he's loving the conversation. And as he's talking with Christ, he says, "Sorry, Yani, you asked me to do this one thing. You're the one who asked me to go and do the cooking. Can you please just wait for me here? I'm loving this conversation. Just please wait for me. I need to go cook as you asked me to cook." And so he went back, cooked, provided the food, came back, and continued his conversation with the Lord. I think it is a beautiful story to remember that if you want to speak to God, God will be there to speak to you. I love Psalm 131. I always get confused between Agbaya Psalms and the Psalms in the Bible. But Psalm 131 and the Agbaya. "Lord, remember David in all his affliction, how he swore to the Lord, I will not go give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for you, O Lord." I may be forgetting a small part, but "I will not give sleep to my eyes or to my eyelids. I will not go to the comfort of my chamber. I'm not going to go anywhere, Lord, until you visit me, until I sit with you, until we have conversation." Christ is the hopeless romantic. You want to speak to him, he will come down and speak to you. He will come and visit you. I'm not talking necessarily you're going to get someone coming down from, you know, if you have an icon at home, he's not going to step out of the icon. But just have faith that he will converse with you and give you peace, and that if you stand next to your bed and say, no, "I'm not going to this bed until you visit me, Lord, until we have conversation, until I feel like I am in your presence," do so and see how the Lord responds. It's beautiful. He's a hopeless romantic. And it's amazing that the creator of the universe, the creator of the world, the creator of all creatures is willing to be called our friend. Why would I not take the time and sit and speak? So, we spoke about supplication, level one. We spoke about thanksgiving, level two, and giving thanks in all things. We spoke about conversation, and Christ is like a hopeless romantic, and that we should converse and speak. Level four is intercession. Intercession. I'm one of the ones advocating that we cut the litanies in the church. They're long, they're seven litanies. But these are types of intercessions. And it's a level of prayer. And it's beautiful prayer. Don't be fooled in underestimating the power of intercession. Actually, right before stepping into church, Sayyidina has a group with all the fathers, and he sent an article, and I found it surprising that it's so on topic. His article was this study of a randomized controlled trial, so this is a trial, of the effects of remote intercessory prayer on the outcomes in patients admitted to the coronary care unit. It's a scientific study about intercessory prayers, and this article is going through how they like tested like a certain amount of people, and there was prayer groups for these people and another set of group of people who had similar diseases and whatnot, and they tried to compare the success of, you know, their healings. And any intercessory prayer, we can take it with a grain of salt if we wish, or we can see that intercessions actually work. But this is a scientific thing, but there is way more better example in the Bible, in Scripture, that shows us the power of intercession. In Exodus 32, the people, Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And the people quickly forgot the Lord and quickly started building a golden calf. And the Lord says, speaking to Moses, "Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn hot against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you a great nation." He's telling Moses, the creator of the universe, the creator of the world, who knows all things, who is Pantok Krator, is saying to Moses, "Leave me alone. Sibni fhali. You're in my way. Your prayers are stopping me from destroying them." That's the power of intercession. That's the power of intercession. Moses, move out of the way. And then Moses tells his people, "If I had not prayed for you." Let me find it. I don't know where it is. But in Deuteronomy, when they're recounting the story, Moses tells his people, "If I had not prayed for you, you would have died." Showing the importance of intercessions. That intercessions are powerful and they are needed. And again, as we look at the levels of prayer, we saw level one, thanksgiving. We saw level one, supplication. Level two, thanksgiving. Level three, conversation. Slowly, slowly stepping outside myself. Level four, we are praying for others completely out of myself. Intercession can save people. If I pray for people, I may be protecting them and changing their lives. It's a possibility. The Lord may say that this is, my will is different. But nonetheless, intercessory prayer makes a difference. I think that's Paul Cloud and clear about intercession. And I think it's Paul Cloud and clear about the litany of peace of the church, the litany of the fathers, the litany of the waters and the fruits of the earth, and the litany and the litany and the litany, how it's so important for us to pray these litanies as well, because these are intercessory prayers for everything in the world, for everyone in the world. So level five, as we are going towards the last step, is praise. Is praise. It's no longer about me. It's not about others. But it's all about Him. From A to Z, all about Him. I've stepped out of the earth and I've entered a heavenly realm. Psalm 148 says, "For His name alone is exalted." His name alone. And we say in the liturgy, "Let your name be glorified, blessed, and exalted in everything." The liturgy also teaches us different levels of prayer and how to pray. If we slowly study the writings and what's written, His name alone is exalted. The 24 priests who stand around the throne, at the sound of His name, at the presence of God, they fall down, they worship. That's the seraphim and the cherubim and seraphim as well. They fall down, they worship, they sing. "Holy, holy, holy, my Lord, Lord of Sabaoth, You're so glorious. I praise Him for everything He is. I step out of myself and see His glory in the nature. I see His glory in the world. I see His glory in every single thing that I experience." Tazbah has just like that. We look at the four hosts. We first start with supplicating in the first host, "Lord, deliver us from Pharaoh and his evil power." Then we go to thanksgiving. In the second host, "Lord, I give You thanks for You because You delivered me from Moses, the Pharaoh and the evil chariots. You've delivered me and given me water in the stones. You've delivered me. Thank you. And then the third host and the fourth host, you praise His name. You simply praise His name and everything about Him and all His creation. Shape your hearts to love these type of prayers and these schools of prayer. Guide. Don't be like turned off by these prayers. Say, no, this is not for me. Learn to love these beautiful prayers that the church has put, these beautiful schools, Agbaya, Tazbaha, liturgy, our early church fathers. In Tazbaha, we see the chanting of the three young men who in the fire are not just giving thanks. They're not just conversing with the Lord. They're praising God and they're praising His glorious creation in the midst of the trial. Wow. Because they made prayer their breath. Prayer is the breath of the Christian. Prayer is the breath of the Christian. I wish I took the St. Mary's glorification and put it there, but she also praised God. "I magnify the Lord," right? She praised Him for who He is. We learn from St. Mary as well, this beautiful prayer, this most highest level of prayer and noticing God. That's what made her worthy as well. So I will conclude with just reading a long quote by Pope Carolus on what prayer is. He's the man of prayer. "Prayer is conjugation between men and God in unity. It means actual reconciliation with God, the mother of tears, and also their daughter, the forgiveness of sin. The bridge to pass over tribulations and a support to our weakness. Prayer is the work of angels, the food for those who are in need of charity, intercession. Happiness, the work that is beneficial, the core of virtues, the giver of other gifts. Prayer is the nourishment of our souls, the light to our minds, the filling for our days, the proof of our hope, of our grace, the treasure of monks, and the repository of the saint in serenity. Prayer is the power of everything. Prayer is the power of everything. Prayer is the Christian breath. May God give us the ability to learn prayer and to make it our breath. And glory be to God forever. Amen.